full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
You ever had a plan that completely blows up on you? So, I got my second dose of the vaccine earlier this week, and from what I had heard, everything I had read about the COVID-19 vaccine, there are side effects, they're normal, but you won't feel good. What I had read, I thought, you know what, I can play through that. It's not that bad. I can sit here and talk, that's pretty low output sort of activity. And then Monday came around, and this is basically what the whole day was while I was trying to work. Luckily, we're back up and running. Feel great today. So we're going to get into what we were going to get into earlier this week, down to just one podcast this week, talking about Derek Tangelo, the transfer from Duke. So Penn State, for the first time under James Franklin, really, instead of just dipping their toe in, went headfirst into the transfer portal and got a couple of guys that will make an immediate impact on the team in 2021. Now, we've heard a lot about these players, but we're actually going to look at them and see what they do, how they'll fit for Penn State, not just that they'll be an asset, but how will they be an asset. Taking a look at transfer Derek Tangelo, the defensive tackle from Duke, today on Let Me Be Frank.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
So what better place to start when talking about Derek Tangelo and what he brings to the Nittany Lions than ask his position coach, John Scott Jr. He talked about both Arnold Ebikidi and Tangelo this spring and what they bring to the Nittany Lions. The first thing, both are older, more mature players, and a second skill Tangelo brings to the table, according to John Scott Jr.
I'm so excited about him and Congo. And, you know, Congo's been Derek's been the same way coming into the program. Both of those guys have just fit really well in the D-line room. They come in and they live and breathe the culture here about working hard, blue hat mentality. And Congo is really quick. He's played big time football down at Duke. He's played with some good guys, and he has an understanding and a maturity about him that is going to allow us to be able to help our football team. I'm so excited about them. I don't know if we could have gotten from a personality standpoint, from a production standpoint, any better transfers than those two coming in here. I'm really glad they're on our football team.
Now, I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised that the first thing that John Scott Jr. talked about with Derek Tangelo was his quickness. Because to me, the things that stands out most on film is Tangelo's strength. And we'll get to the quickness in a moment, because John Scott Jr. obviously isn't wrong. But with Tangelo, I've seen him, he has an above average amount of bench pressing offensive linemen into the backfield for a defensive tackle that I've seen recently on tape. Again, this is a fifth year senior defensive tackle. He's a full grown man at this point, and you can see full grown man strength on film. Whether it's he is denying the point of attack or taking Christian Darrisaw, a first round pick in the NFL draft this past spring, for a ride, he's able to do a lot of these things by denying the point of attack, making the running back change his angle to the point of attack because of the disruption in the run game, or simply resetting the offensive line into the backfield and winning his gap on the backside. That helps with, if the running back does have to cut backwards, there is an open gap for a defender to run through to make the play. So it's not just that he holds his gap or holds the point of attack. He seems to create an above average number of advantageous situations for the defense whether or not he's a part of the play, whether he gets the tackle, whether he actually, you know, forces the play for the defense, he is, for the most part, I think, winning the majority of his defensive reps in the run game. And it doesn't matter if it's single blocked. He's also really good against double teams, whether he's splitting a double team, whether it's a help block, or if he is coming off some combination of the two. He holds his gap, and it almost doesn't matter the position or the block that is being executed against him. Tangelo holds his position on the football field, and that is a huge asset. Like, if you can guarantee that you have a defender, especially on the interior, that is holding his point of attack, holding his gap, it makes everything so much easier. And if you don't believe me, these are the runs in the North Carolina game, one of the games that I spent more time on than the others. These are the runs when he's not on the field. And again, it's Duke, so the level and the depth of players on the football field is different than a place like Penn State. But when they wanted to make hay on the interior, North Carolina waited until Derek Tangelo wasn't on the football field to rip off their big runs on the interior. So there's tangible evidence that Tangelo is stopping and creating disruption on the interior. And this is really important because despite what you might think, despite the three receiver sets always in the shotgun, tight ends that used to play receiver in high school, most Big Ten offensive coordinators still call runs on first down. Over the last two seasons, if you look at it, the number of runs on first down, predictable down and distance situations, there's still a good bit of the conservatism of yesteryear's football in 2021 college football. So if you've got a guy like Tangelo and a guy like Mustafa on your defensive interior that can shut down the majority of the runs on first down, dictate the situation for the defense in your favor for second and third down. This is when they say build from the inside out, you're stopping the thing you're expecting most often. If you can predict what the offense is going to do, and by looking at the analytics and looking at the trends, you know that teams still want to run on first down. You now have two high-floor run defenders on the interior of your defense. That's really good. And that's really important to setting up your defense and your coverage unit especially for success on second and third down. Now, Penn State's problem in a lot of ways has been that they can't then on third down pay off all the work on first and second down. It's not like this is anything new, but I think Tangelo is one of the best run defenders they've had in a long time. And to me, that's his clearest asset. That is his calling card as a fifth-year senior who is strong, smart, dependable, and capable. That's his primary asset. And to me, that's a one technique. Now, again, like we talked about when we talked about PJ Mustafa in one of our previous podcasts for the Bloggy, by the way, if you want to check that out, check out the YouTube page, because we go into three technique versus two eye versus one tech, all these defensive tackle positions, what they mean, and the strengths you need at each of those positions. His profile to me as a run first defensive tackle makes him one technique trapped in a three techniques body at 6'2", 310. Now, that doesn't mean he's not a good pass rusher, but the overwhelming majority of his good plays do come in the run game. And that's not to say that he can't win as a pass rusher. And John Scott Jr. is correct in saying he does win with quickness. He has good hand usage. That hand usage that he uses in the run game shows up as a pass rusher where he gets immediate wins. He can shed defenders, blockers, and get into the backfield. You see some impressive reps on tape, and especially when there are plays where he needs to get quick penetration, you can see all of those things. My concern is that a lot of these are effort plays, and a lot of these are against pretty poor offensive linemen. One of the problems that we have to address, though, when it comes to this, is that the vast majority, and I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the best pass rusher or the worst one, the vast majority of defensive tackle, defensive end pass rushes look like this. Like, the best pass rushers in the NFL, the Boses, the Garretts of the world, they win 25% of their reps. So they're only winning a quarter of the time. And the rest of the time, their pass rushes look like this. So there has to be that awareness when we talk about pass rushing skills for a defensive tackle. But I do think it's fair to say that Tangelo at 6'2" has short arms for his size and doesn't play with the same pad level intensity and explosiveness as a pass rusher that he does as a run defender. A lot of what he does in run defense is quickness, not with speed. And you, to be a high-end three-technique defensive tackle, you need to have that explosive speed. And I think the majority of his pass rushes look more like this, and this is more indicative of what he does than what we showed you previously with his wins. So to me, that makes him a one-technique trapped in a three-techniques body of a guy who, if he gave you that as your nose tackle, that is some excellent football play from that position. As the three technique, I think it's good. It's providing you a high floor as a pass rusher, but it's not a dominant thing. And to be fair, he is a fifth-year defensive tackle that entered the transfer portal for one more year of football to try and make himself ready for the NFL. So athletically, he is what you expect. He's an above-average version of what you might expect in the transfer portal as a mature, physically strong football player that has clear limitations. And that's why when we talk about where he fits on the defensive front, I think he can play one technique. I think he can play three technique. Actually, he played all over the defensive line for Duke. They have a similar situation where they don't have a strong differentiation between their nose tackle and their three technique. So he played true nose at times. He played 2-eye. He played one tech. He played three tech. So I think he has the versatility to be a backup to PJ Mustipher. And on those early rundowns that we talked about in the Big Ten, he can be your three technique who can stop double teams, who can create an advantage in the running game for you on first down. And when it comes to who's the starter, he's going to get the early down run defense because of that. So I guess if you're talking about camp battles, and if he does play three technique, which I do think is the likely thing he'll play for Penn State, he will be the starter in that sense. But as far as the role he's filling, it's so different from what Hakeem Beamon is going to be asked to do. Now, this offseason, if Hakeem Beamon puts on 20 pounds and gets back up to 290-ish as a football player, that explosiveness and that quick win that he has as a defensive tackle, that's going to make him the obvious starter and the guy that can play the majority of the snaps, and then make Tangelo a guy that you can play flexibly behind Mustipher and behind Beamon. But at the very least, what you have in Derek Tangelo is a guy that can do all of it reasonably well to excellent. And that is a huge asset to know that you're getting a guy that can be your starter and fill a very good role for you on your defense in the transfer portal. That's a huge thing. That's a win for Penn State and for James Franklin heading into 2021, that they have this now level of play as a floor for their defensive tackle unit, and anything that Hakeem Beamon and Devon Ellis and Aeneas Hawkins and any of these young defensive tackles, anything that those high upside guys can bring to the position, that's going to be a benefit and an extra, because you've got your baseline of acceptable, high-quality Power 5 football play from Derek Tangelo.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
So two last things before we get out of here today. The first is that I want to do a mailbag episode in the near future. So if you have any questions or any topics you want to discuss on the podcast, leave a comment on the show and we'll get the best ones together and we'll do a mailbag episode in the near future, whether it's a depth chart thing, a player profile, or you want me to rant about juicers again. I only have one of those, but, you know, if you have a topic that bothers you, we'll talk about it. The second thing is I want to talk about analytics, because I think it's an important conversation. I reference analytics and I reference PFF quite a bit, because first off, full disclosure, I work for PFF as well when I am a part of their analytics team about, you know, collecting data and stuff like that. So literally, if you think that people who do analytics don't look at film, where do you think it comes from? Where do you think the data is coming from? That like a computer is just, downloading not like what do you think's happening there? Humans are observing things and putting them into a system, and it's just a collection of observations about football. That's what analytics is. It's observations about football, and it's really important to use for this reason. The human brain is one of the most brilliant, marvelous things on the planet. And I've heard this, and you can look at the studies about how the human brain is designed to recognize patterns in nature. It's how you survive, so that you know, like, you observe something enough times, and then you can see that, you can adapt that habit, and then you can live and survive. That's why humans can live on just about any part of the planet, because all the animals in the Arctic wear fur, so we're going to wear their fur, therefore we can live in the Arctic. It's just spotting patterns. And the same thing is true in football. If you can look at film and you can spot a pattern, that is a huge advantage, because then you can predict what's going to happen next. That's what football, you're trying to predict offense or defense. You're trying to predict what the other is going to do and take advantage of it. So, for example, our conversation today about run defense. If you think that every spread offense in the Big Ten is throwing the ball on first down and Mike Leach's air raid has invaded all of college football and everyone just throws the football now, that's not exactly true. If you look at the information, the majority of Big Ten teams are still running on first down. So you should invest in those areas so that you can stop the thing you can predict. To extend our metaphor painfully, it's like spotting bears. So analytics and data is just observing the patterns and making sure that it's actually a bear and not a pile of rocks. Or conversely, that you're not paying attention and you didn't just run into a bear in the woods. That's what analytics can do. It can help you flag things that you need to pay attention to and help you ignore the ones that are just noise, that are just unimportant or random chances, random things that happen over time, instead of a clear pattern you should pay attention to. So that's the value of the data. It's a collection of observations by people who collect the data and then use that information to make the best decisions possible on the football field. So it's not just a bunch of math nerds with theory. It's actual. Now, that's part of it. There is a section of it that is like, what do you do with the information we've gathered? But the information itself is incredibly helpful as a tool for finding the bears in football. Now, if only the bears could actually find football. Because they're bad at football.